Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It ain't the left side or the right side, and it must be the fin side. It ain't the left side or the right side.
Good evening, Dolphins fans. Welcome to another episode here of On the Fin Side with Kat and Paul. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, all of our social media outlets. We are also the official provider for FinFanatic.com, as well as the Fansided Network for the Dolphins here. So here we are, 14 days before the NFL draft, Paul. We are officially 2 weeks before. Hard to believe that it's catching up with us here so quickly. We're here talking about off-ball linebackers today, a position with not only a lot of stars, but also a lot of depth really throughout the draft class.
Yeah, no, I'm excited about it. I mean, God, you know how long. I mean, a lot of our regular listeners know how long I've been talking about a particular linebacker. But really, it's linebacker still a need. I know they re-signed Landon Roberts, but he is a guy that whiffs a little bit more than he hits. His hits just happen to look a big moment, but most of his misses are a big moment too.
And looking here at the linebackers for the Dolphins, you know, you've got Jerome Baker in the final year of his contract. Bernardrick McKinney was traded, was had in that trade for Shaq Lawson, but, you know, probably just a 1 or 2 year guy when you think about it. And then the Dolphins get Landon Roberts back. I was a little confused by that because it's a 1 year deal. He's coming off a major injury. Andrew Van Ginkle is going to be that overhang linebacker. So, you know, the Dolphins really have the opportunity here to take the position from, lacking a little bit in depth, but they could really take this position from a B to an A if they were to target linebacker earlier in this draft.
Yeah, and depending on what they do here, I mean, they could legitimately take this to an A+, given the way that they utilize their linebackers in this scheme. Now, one of the things for the Dolphins with this is, given the scheme that Flores runs down there, you need athletic linebackers that can do a lot of things. You need that one Bernardrick McKinney type, but then you need the Jerome Bakers who can fly all over the field. You need, you know, the Andrew Van Ginkles that can drop into coverage, but really they're going to make their bones rushing the passer. And you need guys with some flexibility to make that positionless defense work.
Yeah, you've got Van Ginkle who can, you know, rush the passer, pin his ears back. McKinney, great against the run, and Baker, really the pass defense guy. And, you know, you've also got Landon Roberts for depth. Calvin Munson's a special teamer here, and Sam Egwuban as well has played a lot of snaps on special teams. But, you know, whether it's first round, third round, fifth round, seventh round, wherever it is, I think Calvin Munson and Sam Egwuban are going to be challenged here for linebacker spots. I think if both of those guys are on the team next year, then the Dolphins probably did something wrong or didn't build enough depth. But, Paul, taking a look here at something that ESPN's Matt Miller said, very interesting about your guy, Micah Parsons, and I'll read the quote in just a minute.
Hey, Dolphins fans. This podcast is brought to you by Danette May and Mindful Health LLC, featuring Danette May's top superfood product from her Earth Echo Foods line, Cacao Bliss. Nothing feels better than being able to enjoy rich, smooth, creamy chocolate and knowing you are doing something good for your body. We start with 100% organic cacao beans that are naturally kissed by the sun, maintaining its miraculous health benefits. Then we blend it with turmeric, MCT oil, coconut, Himalayan sea salt, cinnamon, and black pepper for the perfect blend to make you feel the best you ever have. The result? Fall in love with a truly decadent, healthy, guilt-free chocolate, removing your cravings, facilitating weight loss, boosting your energy, and reducing your inflammation with one simple drink. Not only that, it is friendly to paleo, gluten-free, keto, vegan, and vegetarian diets. For the last 8 years, we've been a leader in the superfoods market and are proud to have served millions of customers worldwide. We are offering up to 15% off when you use code MINUTE15 at earthecofoods.com/minutemedia. Follow on social media at the Danette May and at Earth Echo Foods.
So this was what Matt Miller had to say about the about a pretty juicy rumor here with the Dolphins. I subscribe to draftscout.com. He's on ESPN, but this is a quote from him here on his website. I heard early this week, that made me think they could go another direction. Head coach Brian Flores is rumored to love Penn State linebacker Micah Parsons. Number 6 overall may seem a bit early for him based on some mock drafts, but I wouldn't be surprised if the Dolphins went linebacker either here at 6 or after a trade back. They also have a pick at 18 in the first round, and the word around the league is that defense will be the priority if there is a pass catcher selected at number 6.
Yeah, no. Go ahead. Sorry.
No, I know what you would think about that if they took him at 18.
Dude, I have to tell you, I know a few years ago when, you know, we had our show leading up to the Laramie Tunsil cornerstone draft that we didn't even know how big of a cornerstone draft it was. Once Laramie Tunsil hit about number 8, gas mask or no, you remember I was completely insufferable. Like, I'm like, go get him now before somebody else does. And that's if Micah slides. Like, the further he slides into double-digit picks, the more insufferable I'm going to be. I'm not waiting till 18 for somebody that I feel could be such a difference maker for this franchise. You go get your guy. You've built up your draft capital. You're a 10-6 team that's got a sophomore quarterback now that you're really, truly a couple of pieces away from being somebody that people don't want to face. And if you can get two of the top 3 or 4 non-quarterback players in this draft at 6 and possibly, you know, 12, 13, 14, you do it.
So let's stay right there. Let's say the Dolphins draft that pass catcher number 6.
Yes.
At what point is 12 the starting point that you start thinking about trading up to get Micah Parsons if he falls?
I'm drooling over 10. Like,
okay.
I would one team I'm looking at, a team that hasn't had the best of luck with character issues in the past, that's going to be shaking in their boots if Micah Parsons is sitting there, is at number 11 with the Giants. They're going to be all I can think is that they're going to be sitting there like the Jacksonville GM in draft day, just shaking in their boots, like, I don't want to be the guy that took that guy. I don't want to be the guy that took that guy after we've had so many character issues through the last, you know, 5 or 6 years of drafts. So they would be a prime target to call up and go, hey, you don't want to take Micah Parsons. Let's get you out of there. Like, and I'm down. I am down. Let's draft day this thing, man.
What would you – so, all right, Micah Parsons, let's say, is there at 11. The Dolphins are picking at 18.
Yep.
You've already got Kyle Pitts. Are you trading – the number 50 pick to move up from 18 to 11 to get him?
If I have to, yes.
Okay. Yeah, because I think that would be the compensation. And I'm with you on that. I mean, if you're telling me that you can get Kyle Pitts at 6, Micah Parsons in a trade-up, and then at number 36, you may have to choose between running back and center in that situation. But you're going to end up with two high-level athletic guys on both sides of the ball, and then you're looking at center or running back there at 36.
Yeah, and I mean, it's you could also potentially, depending on how the board plays out, move down from 36 a little bit to reaccumulate some draft capital. You could do a lot of things there. I mean, I never discount Chris Greer at this point and what the man can do to a draft board. I mean, I was looking at the top 10 the other day. And, you know, it's like, oh, the number 3 pick, San Francisco via Miami via Houston. The number, God, like, it's just hilarious to me looking through the top 10 of the draft and the via this team, via Miami,
blah, blah, blah. Like, it's just, I'll take it. You know, I'll take it. Chris Greer doesn't like to sit around stagnant.
And that will be fascinating to see if the first four picks are quarterbacks, and then let's say Ja'Marr Chase goes fifth. Can he push his luck a little bit more and fall down one, two, or three more spots and get another third rounder? I would hope that he doesn't, because I want him to stay at six in that scenario.
Yeah.
And take Kyle Pitts, assume, you know, I'm out on Penny. I don't think Penny Sewell will be the pick, regardless.
Did you say you're out on Penny?
No, I'm not out. I'm out on hoping that he would be the pick.
Okay.
So, but Penny, and we'll get to the Penny in our offensive lineman segment here on Saturday. Penny is 1A, Kyle Pitts is 1B, Ja'Marr Chase is 1B, Kyle Pitts is 1C. That's how my board's like. I'd be thrilled with any of them. But anyway, with Micah Parsons, what really intrigues me about him is that 246 pounds, tested out of this world, 4.39 40. And when I go back and watch him, I've actually got a YouTube video of him over to the left now. He's what amazes me about him is the length, the speed, and the tackling that he has at the linebacker spot. You know, two comparisons that were made with him by two different draft publications, the Draft Network, as well as Lance Zierlein from NFL.com, was Miles Jack. I think he is that, with more ability to rush off the edge. But in today's NFL, you're 246 pounds, you run a 4.39, you can cover a lot of ground, and Brian Flores loves you. Maybe he does, maybe he doesn't, maybe it's a smokescreen. That's a high-level talent.
Yeah, and Micah Parsons is really that guy. You could play at all three levels on that defense. So you could God, Boyer's going to have so much fun with Micah Parsons. And the things that I've been hearing lately. So I know early on we heard about the maturity issues. We know he had some stupidity at 16, 17, 18 years old. But like I've been looking deeper at it, and LeVar Arrington has been talking about how much growth he's seen in this kid and how he would trust Micah Parsons to watch his house and his kids for a week. Like, and that says a lot. I mean, LeVar Arrington is one of those guys I've always respected. And the fact that he's like, look, this kid was an idiot when he was younger. Almost every kid is, whether they get caught or not, in different ways, not condoning what he did, right?
No, let me ask you, though. Do you believe that, or do you think that's Penn State linebacker covering up for Penn State linebacker or defending him? Do you think he would defend him or say that regardless of what he said or did?
I think that it may not be to the level that Arrington is saying, but at some point, to say it that publicly, LeVar Arrington is staking his own reputation on it. So there has to be some truth to it. And really, what I've heard as well is there hasn't been much since all the BS early on in his college career. So who knows? But you know Greer and Flores are doing their due diligence. If Flores is already kind of into this guy, I'm assuming that he's done his due diligence at this point.
Yeah, and those are according to rumors that I read here and reports. You know, we're in lying season, so it could be the opposite is true. But it's exciting to hear that talk regardless. And, yeah, Micah Parsons, number 11 at Penn State. LeVar Arrington, the second overall pick in the draft in 2000. Wore number 11 as well. The differences I see with them, they're about the same size, about the same speed. The difference is LeVar Arrington was a big hitter. He had those bone-jarring hits. I legitimately think Micah Parsons is a good tackler. He had only 11 missed tackles over his college career at Penn State, which is really good in the open field and firing off the edge. So, yeah, we're both excited about that possibility. We haven't moved him off the top five or six players in the draft. A lot of other people have. But, Paul, after you get past Micah Parsons, it's still a very good class. It's a deep class. So how do you – you know, let's say this. In our chat, we've heard for weeks, even when we're not talking about linebackers, the name Zaven Collins, the linebacker from Tulsa, 6'5", 259 pounds. The guy is a thoroughbred. He is an absolute monster. And he also tested out very well, has that alpha personality. You had him on your draft board for the Dolphins. Again, not holding you to it. Things change every week. Mm-hmm. You had him about 12. Do you still have him right at that spot?
I'd have to look at my overall draft board, really, but it's pretty close.
Are you still high on him, I should say?
What's that?
Are you still high on him?
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah, and Jamin Davis is moving up for me as well. I'm actually higher on those two at the moment than I am Owusu Koromoa. But, again, it's I just want linebackers. I want a big, fast, disgusting specimen of a linebacker to come up and separate somebody from the ball.
Yeah, I mean, and he is an old-school linebacker. He also played weak side linebacker at Tulsa in that 3-3-5. Now, here's the trap I fall into with Zaven Collins when I watch him. I've watched six games of his, okay? I find myself going back and forth, but I end up saying Zaven Collins is great for his size. He is great against the pass for his size. He's fast for his size. He can chase down the running back in the perimeter for his size. And then I start thinking to myself, does it really matter that he's 6'5", 257 instead of 6'3", 235? Does that make that big of a difference? It might, because when you see him move, when you're that big, you can get into passing lanes that other people can't. And, you know, he ran a 4.66. He plays to that speed, but he's able, with his intelligence, his angles, and his length, be able to get to a spot a lot quicker at the linebacker spot with his length.
Yeah, no, it's – I mean – anybody that ever wrestled in their life will tell you how much of a difference that 15 pounds and 2 inches will make. It's huge. It's a lot bigger than you think. I mean, there's a reason why you see before a boxing match, whether you think it's rigged or not, you know, these guys have to make a specific weight. It is very big. It's, you know, we hear every year about this guy or that guy that needs to add 10 pounds and he's suddenly going to be a stud. So the fact that this guy's coming in at 6'5", 259, it's you can't coach that. You just can't.
You certainly can't. And what'll be where I could really see Zaven Collins being a fit for the Dolphins is if they determine that he can really set the edge from an off-ball linebacker spot. I don't know if Brian Flores is going to get there, but if he does, then I could see him taking a look at Zaven Collins as really a bigger version of Kyle Van Noy and playing that linebacker position. Now, I would imagine that Zaven Collins would be your top off-ball linebacker behind Micah Parsons. Would that be accurate?
He is, but Jamin Davis has gotten awfully close for me.
Got it. Okay. We'll get back to Jamin in a second here. Zaven Collins for the Dolphins is my fifth off-ball linebacker.
Okay.
But that's more reflective of the depth of the class and team need. Because my concern, what I keep going back to, is can you really put Zaven Collins and Bernardrick McKinney on the field at the same time? And if you do, you're taking off Jerome Baker. Why? I have a hard time seeing them getting all three of them on the field. That's why I don't think he'll be the pick for the Dolphins, even though it's a possibility. And another reason, I look at the three guys ahead of him that I have. Jamin Davis, Jeremiah Owusu-Koromoa, and one of my favorite players in this draft, Jabril Cox from LSU. Okay. I look at those three and say, I legitimately think they can run with tight ends and tight ends and running backs, and they can hold the role in this hold their own in the slot. Zaven Collins might be able to do that, but I'm not 100% he can run with slot wide receivers, if that makes sense.
It does. The only one that I'm going to did we get an actual 40 time on Jabril Cox?
So Jabril Cox, I'm glad you brought that up. His pro day is going to be actually April 26th.
Okay.
Because of an injury. So I reserve my right to drop him if he doesn't test out that well athletically, but I think he certainly will.
Yeah, because I've seen him basically projected to run in about the same range that Zaven Collins was projected to run in, and you know, Zaven did a little bit better than he was projected, but if Jabril runs a 4.7, 4.78, somewhere in there, I'm
dropping him. There's no doubt. I'd be shocked if he came in over 4.6. He turns and runs really well, and he's legitimately fast. I mean, I think he can cover a lot of ground. He's not the most physical guy, and he does not have the length that Zaven Collins has. No doubt about that. Cox transferred from North Dakota State to LSU and really rose to the occasion on an LSU team that didn't play that well. You know, he had what, 5 passes defensed and 3 interceptions on the year, and it just really looked the part. And I think he is today's linebacker, but he is number 4 for my off-ball linebackers. Jamin Davis is number 2 for me, and he's probably going to be 13th or 14th on my overall draft board. He's continuing to rise. I said a couple weeks ago, reminds me a little bit of when Chandler Jones fell to the middle of the first round when he was taken by the Patriots here several years ago, back in 2012, where I looked at him athletically and thought, and a lot of people thought, he could be the best defensive player in this draft, given how well he can move for his size. 6'3", 234, 4'4", 940, 42 vertical, 11'2 broad jump. And every year he's gotten better at Kentucky, had over 100 tackles and 3 interceptions this past year.
Yeah, it's funny because if Micah Parsons hadn't run a 4.39, we'd all be looking at that 4.49 going, ooh, whoo. But, you know, it kind of slides it a little bit, even though, I mean, Jamin's one of my top guys. The weird one for me, and you know, Kat, you can probably back this up a little bit better than I can, just because he's from Mizzou, is Nick Bolton. I think Dolphins fans at times tend to fall in a trap when they see a 5'11 linebacker with heart that's built like a little fire truck. It's, you know, we all adored Zach Thomas, but just because Nick Bolton is 5'11 doesn't mean he's Zach Thomas, and I just don't think he's a fit for this defense.
I look at him as being a better version of a Landon Roberts and what he would bring, because in between the hash marks, this guy is – he's not only a firecracker in the middle of there. He is strong for his size. He's only 5'11", 237. He's intelligent. He's a team leader. He checkmarks all of those boxes in run defense and as character, everything. But still, I don't see a way that this guy is going to repeatedly be on the field on third down. And if that's what you're talking about a two-down player, I think he ends up falling to the second or third round in that situation. And because of that, just because I think he's going to be lacking a lot more than these other guys on third down and in obvious pass situations, he's my 8th off-ball linebacker in this draft. And so if the Dolphins didn't draft an off-ball linebacker and we got down to, say, pick 80 in the third round, yeah, at that point I'd probably consider Nick Bolton, but probably not before that.
Yeah, no, I don't doubt it. I mean, I'm willing to bet you have a couple of guys above him that I do as well, in Chaz Surratt and Baron Browning. I think they'd be very good fits for the Dolphins. And Chaz Surratt's so intriguing because he fits that mold that we've seen from Greer and Flores. If Miami were to miss out on Parsons, I would not be shocked if Chaz Surratt ended up being the guy, because he's that guy that's still an ascending guy that's learning the position a little bit, and really they would have their chance to really coach him up and turn a possible start of the third round value into a first round talent, which I love the fact that we can actually trust our coaching again. It's been a long time.
That's exactly right. When we talk about these positions that they get the benefit of the doubt because of how the defense played last year in every game except the final game against Buffalo. You know, overall for the year, heading into the Buffalo game in week 17, we're talking about the Dolphins possibly going from the 32nd ranked defense or 32nd in points allowed to first in points allowed for the year. Obviously, they allowed a 56 in Buffalo, and hey, they deserved all the criticism they got for that. But yeah, I mean, clearly – Brian Flores and Josh Boer know what they're doing on defense, and they do get the benefit of the doubt. That's why if the Dolphins drafted a Zaven Collins with his versatility, with his upside, I would think, huh, that's interesting. Not these guys are morons.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I'm with you on that. Yep. Like,
So let's go back to the linebacker spot here. So just kind of going down the list, off-ball linebackers, number one, Micah Parsons. Number two, Jamin Davis. Number three, Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah. Four, Jabril Cox. Number five, Zaven Collins. And you're right, my six and seven are Baron Browning and Chaz Surratt. I'll get to Browning in a second, but yeah, Surratt is an intriguing guy here because he, in 2017, actually was North Carolina's quarterback. He threw 193 passes that year. And then in 2018, here was his stat line as quarterback. 4 for 10 for 10 yards and 3 interceptions. So then they switched him to linebacker. And since then, he's been a really good player. When you watch him, it's clear on film that he used to be a quarterback because he has great instincts for the passing game. He looks the part. He moves well. He covers a lot of ground. He understands when a slot receiver is breaking over the middle and when to go get the ball. So I do see a lot of plug and play ability for him. One concern of mine though, is he is raw. He brings almost nothing in run defense as far as I'm concerned. And he's going to be 25 at the end of his rookie year with still so much to learn.
Yeah. And by the way, folks, make sure you guys like and subscribe. I know we've been forgetting to tell you guys, but make sure you guys do that. Leave us a review out on iTunes as well. It helps us out. And you know, tell your friends, man, we're getting ready for this draft party coming up. I don't know about you, Kat.
Oh, I'm ready for that. We're going to have a good time. In fact, I may have to move here, because I'm not going to be slumped over here on this couch with my elbows on my knees here for 3 hours. So, I'm going to probably be lounging on the couch, on here with, so
with your Dolphins pillow.
Do I know how to party or what?
Settle down, you animal. Jesus.
So linebacker, the sixth guy I have that you mentioned is Baron Browning. I look at him as kind of a poor man's Micah Parsons. Now,
really poor man's Micah.
He has unreal measure. Yeah, and that is more to say about Parsons. You know, he had a great Senior Bowl week, 6'3", 246 pounds, runs a 4.56, 40-inch vertical, 10-10 broad jump. Kent Lee Platt, who you can follow on Twitter at MathBomb, has all those measurables. He creates this athleticism score based on the pro days. And based on just athleticism, since 1987, Baron Browning is the fifth linebacker in terms of athletic testing across the board. So phenomenal athletic skills, but I watch him and I think maybe the idea of drafting him late first, early second sounds better than actually doing it. I've seen him early. I've seen him maybe late first is rich, but I've seen him in a lot of mock drafts early in the second round.
Wow. I mean, I like the guy. Don't get me wrong, but early second, I'm out.
Me too. And you know, you look at his he's very versatile too. He was moved all over the place at Ohio State. He played inside linebacker, he rushed off the edge, he was a stand-up outside linebacker. You can bet Brian Flores and Josh Boyer will love that type of versatility. But yeah, I can't get there on an early second rounder. Pick 80, I think, might be a better spot. I would still probably have a few guys projected a little bit higher than him at that spot. Yeah, you look at this past year. I mean, 3 sacks, 2 forced fumbles, 29 tackles, you know, moved all around, just never really became a star there at Ohio State.
You know, speaking of Ohio State, I'm going to jump a little further down the list here. I was so disappointed in Tough. I expected so much of Tough Borland at the Senior Bowl, and he just, you know, he looked like the Wish version of himself. He just came out and looked abysmal. And then he wound up testing even worse. I mean, I honestly, you know, for a guy I liked, I honestly don't know if he ends up getting drafted. He may end up being an undrafted guy when all is said and done.
I agree with you, and I would be on that too. I mean, I would not draft him. In fact,
I wouldn't sign him.
I have a very simple. Oh wow, those are heavy words, because you were a big Tough Borland fan, and hey, I'm proud of you. The guy runs a 4.98. He's out. Yeah. I mean, that's, look, if you're a linebacker and you run the 40 at a 4.8 or slower, you're done. You can't play in the league.
Either that or eat yourself up to move up a spot and you know, suddenly become a very athletic defensive tackle.
Now, I know a lot of our listeners are going to say, well, I guess you forgot about a guy named Zach Thomas. I'm like, there's a reason you got to go back 25 years to bring up a name like that.
We love Zach Thomas. Like, we're not trying to make him our whipping boy tonight.
The opposite is the fact that he was able to overcome that is such a reason for his greatness. But for every Zach Thomas, there are 100 Scooby Wright III and Evan Weaver, guys that just get kicked out of the league because they're just not fast enough.
I hated when everybody wanted Scooby Wright III. I blocked him out of my memory. Like, and that's the memory that contains Bakari, Rambo, and a few others. Oh God, it was so bad.
It's a league designed on speed. So Justin Hilliard, Tough Borland, Patty Fisher, you're out. Just can't play in the league. I'm sorry. Somebody else I'm out on too. I gotta say I'm out on Dylan Moses. He went to Alabama and he's had a crazy kind of life. He got a scholarship to LSU when he was 14 or something like that, something crazy. And his dad was like a Todd Marinovich dad, where like you had to, you know, do 300 push-ups and 900 sit-ups before you could come in and eat dinner that night. You're going to be a professional football player. And Dylan Moses tore his ACL in 2019, came back this past year, didn't look at all like the same player. I'm not sure if this guy's had a lot of adversity in his life, because he's been the number one guy pretty much everywhere he's gone. So if he's there in the fifth round, you know, that's, and the Dolphins took him, I would be okay with that, but I'm not touching him before that.
I'm good.
You're good. You're good. Gotcha.
Yeah. There's a lot of linebackers I'm good on in this draft. I mean, a couple others that I know are later guys that I really, really wanted to like. Isaiah McDuffie from BC. I really wanted to like this kid. He doesn't pass the smell test as far as the NFL goes. And then Nick Neiman. I watched so much footage of Nick Neiman out of Iowa. The fact, you know, he's projected so low and runs a 4.45, threw up 19 bench reps, you name it. I really wanted to like him as a developmental guy, and I just watch tape of him, and he plays so much slower than the 4.45 speed. Like, he plays like he runs a 4.98 on a good day.
Yeah, that's what I saw too, and that's why we talk about measurables. We talk about 40 times on the show, probably more than other ones, but it's a reason to go back and look. And you know, if somebody runs 4.98, I'm out. I mean, unless I see you covering, unless you sprained an ankle while running it, then I'm not interested. I mean,
yeah, I better see you
can't
grab
cover
a tire.
Enough ground. And then, but then you look at Nick Neiman. Yeah, guy runs a 4.45. He's got wide receiver speed. And then you watch him play at Iowa, and you say, no, he doesn't. So,
yeah,
good for you on that. A couple late round guys that are, you know, again in that fit, you know. God, I wish the Dolphins had a fourth or sixth round pick, and they probably will. But you look in that fifth round area where they pick 156. KJ Britt and Ernest Jones are two guys that, see, KJ Britt's pushing it, ran a 4.75, but he's a really good two down linebacker. I could see that.
He's a twitch away I could see from him a no down a linebacker player. At that point. All right,
he's 6 foot 235. Yeah, he's not quite as big. Ernest Jones had a 38 and a half inch vertical, but I like him less than KJ Britt. Yeah, I forget what I said about
him. With his blazing 4.72.
4.72. Ernest Jones. Yeah, yeah. And he's pushing it too. So, yeah, yeah. For now on, let's just to make things sooner, or just to make things a lot more succinct here on the show. How about if you run slower than a 4.7 flat, you're out. Done. Yeah. Don't want to hear from you. Nothing.
You can. All right. And in the chat, you can ask us about the guy, but we're just going to tell you he's too fat.
Yeah, I mean, look. If at line in the back seven of the defense,
ooh, I do like Buddy Johnson safety, though.
You have to cover a lot of ground. Yeah, Buddy, I did watch him, and yeah, he does play up to that speed. He ran a 4.58, 38 and a half inch vertical. Yeah, I think he's an underrated dude. So I, you know, he's somebody that I think, you know, on day three, that's somebody that you can get to play special teams. I'd probably rather have a Buddy Johnson on my team than a Sam Agüevan or a Calvin Munson. So that's a great example there.
Yeah. So it's outside of those guys, I mean, the top end of the linebacker class this year, I really like, but I mean, we're already hitting developmental guys at four or five. And I know somebody had brought up earlier this offseason about, you know, positions I like. And for me, once you get past that top seven or eight guys, there's tumbleweeds, and the tumbleweeds are probably faster than half these guys.
Yeah, that's a great quote. These guys are tumbleweeds. I love that. See, what is there anybody we missed here? Pete Werner from Ohio State. He's probably going to go second or third round to a zone-based football team. When I watched him, he looked like Kiko Alonso. I mean, it was scary how much he looked like Kiko Alonso. His ability to get from point A to point B within, you know, in the middle of the field in zone is really good, but I don't see him in this Brian Flores type defense taking on offensive linemen coming down to block him on the second level. He's not that type of guy. I don't care if he's 238 pounds. Yeah, he's tested well, good college football player, and he'll be a good third round pick for a zone based team, but not somebody I'm interested in for the Dolphins. So let's go back up to the top, because we've spent way too much time in the bottom.
Let's go back to Micah Parsons.
I know where you take Parsons. You take Parsons, you know, sixth if Kyle Pitts weren't there.
I would take him in a boat. I would take him with a goat. I would take him here nor there. I would take him anywhere.
All right. So next you've got Zaven Collins.
Yep.
And then let's see. So let me ask you this. Is there a linebacker? We've talked about Zaven Collins. We've talked about Jamin Davis, Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah. Is there anybody that you would be comfortable with at pick 18?
18?
For the Dolphins.
I'd be comfortable with Zaven or Jamin, or if somehow Micah Parsons slides that far, I'd be more than comfortable. I'm going to be insufferable. Especially, you know, whether they pick him or not, I'm just going to be disgusting. And by the way, John Gordon, thank you very much, dude. We appreciate it.
If so, I'm not watching the chat, so I'm sure John always has great comments there after the show here. So I'm sure that was no different
content than any channel out there. And he
awesome. Well,
he gave us a super chat on it too. So John, we love you.
Hey, we shove DraftCon content down your throat like the building's on fire. We pretend like our house is going to burn down in 45 minutes, and we need to do a show and get out of here. We're not going to bore you for an hour and a half. So
just wait till I start pulling the prospects in again next year or the year after. We're gonna have more content than we know what to do with for this stuff. You guys are gonna be sick of us. Yeah. If you click that like button,
might be an everyday show here. So okay, so at linebacker, yeah, Jamin Davis is somebody I don't think the Dolphins would take at 18. I think he could be – he has star potential. Yes, yeah. There's a lot more downside with him. He's an off-ball linebacker too, but man, oh, man, he can cover a lot of ground in the middle of the field. Wouldn't surprise me if he became a Darius Leonard. He's got that type of ability. Now, I would say Javon Collins, actually Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah and Jabril Cox might be okay with him at 36, would prefer 50. Same goes for Zaven Collins. Owusu-Koramoah, we didn't talk about a lot. I've never seen a player like him. And I don't mean like for greatness or for anything like that, but he's rare. He's an outside linebacker at 6'1", 220 who legitimately covers the slot. And he's somebody that cover he's so fast and he's so violent. But because of that, he overruns a lot of plays and he's not a great tackler. I mean, I go a step further. He is one of the worst tackling linebackers I've seen projected as a first round pick ever. He misses so many tackles. And then he also has 33-inch arms, which is odd because Micah Parsons has 31.5-inch arms. So I don't, he's 6'1", 220, but almost has as long of arms as Zaven Collins. I don't know. He is a weird dude.
Sorry, I've just got this freaking T-Rex thing in my head for Zaven Collins
No,
now.
T-Rex have short.
No, but I mean,
T-Rex have
for Zaven
short arms.
Collins standing next to him. Sorry. Anyway, go ahead.
All right. So yeah, I don't know, man. It's like if the Dolphins were convinced that this guy could play in the slot and be as good as Nick Needham covering, which is, Nick Needham's not a great slot guy, but he is a cornerback and he is much, much lighter, can cover, you would think a lot more ground, but maybe not. And Owusu-Koramoah, he could be that defensive back slash linebacker hybrid that allows you to have a permanent three safety look. I don't know if I would still take him at 36 though. If he fell down to 50, Paul says no. But
If I want if I want a three safety look at 36, I'm drafting Richie.
yeah,
Like,
yeah. And then you have Brandon Jones and
both things better. Yeah, I'm.
yeah, I hear you on that. One other guy too before we get out of here that I'm actually way higher on than a lot of people is Derek Barnes from Purdue. I watched a lot of him over the last couple of days here, and this is an old school throwback linebacker, but he's also got speed. He can cover a lot of ground and he comes angrily downhill. He played defensive end earlier in his career at Purdue too. Back in 2019, when he played his last full season, 11 tackles for loss and 7.5 sacks. So he's somebody that he's right there with me for me, or he's right there for me with Baron Browning, Chaz Surratt, Nick Bolton. And then I've got Derek Barnes, but I've got all of them very close. I think it would be decent value there. Pick 80, probably not before that then. So, Paul, we've covered a lot here, and in the linebackers, off-ball linebackers. Be sure to join us too for our offensive line segment on Saturday, as well as our edge segment here on Sunday. Paul, anything else jump out from the chat or you want to add here tonight?
I'm just taking a quick look because I know Eric had a question in chat that I told him we'd try to get to at the end of the show. I'm just taking a look through now. Oh yeah. So he's hearing a lot, and this is not related to the linebacker talk, but he's hearing a lot of talk about the Falcons taking Pitts at number 4. I know we've heard it as well. What are your thoughts? Do you think they will?
Man, I think they're going to end up trading that pick because they've put it out there that they're interested in it. And by restructuring Matt Ryan's contract, you basically ensure that he's going to be their quarterback until 2023, unless you see a Carson Wentz type of trade next offseason. So I would say that if I had to rank it, they trade down. Somebody comes up and drafts Trey Lance. The second option is they stay there at 4 and take Kyle Pitts. Option 3 is they take a quarterback themselves, if I had to guess.
I wouldn't be shocked to see them take a wide receiver either, if they stayed there. I mean, there's a lot of directions they could go. I mean, hell, they could even be in the Sewell sweepstakes. I'm not sold that they aren't. So they could do a lot of things, but I do think you're right and spot on. I think the number one target for them is a trade out at that point.
See, if they don't they're in a bad spot for what they need, because they restructured Ryan's contract at quarterback. At receiver, they've got Julio Jones, Calvin Ridley, and Russell Gage had 76 catches last year, in a real breakout year for him. And at tight end, they traded a second round pick for Hayden Hurst last year, who was, I think, fifth or sixth in all yards and tight ends last year. So not a good situation there as far as needs. And at tackle, they've got Jake Matthews and Caleb McGarry, two former first round picks that they drafted here in the last, you know, 6-7 years. So
yeah,
not a great, that's why I think they need to trade. If we were doing a mock with trades, I would have them trading down to say 9 with Denver, taking either cornerback Patrick Surtain or JC Horn. Yeah.
Yep.
That's what I'd be looking at there.
No, I'm with you there. I think it'd be a smart move, or even number 8 with Carolina, even though they got Sam Darnold. I wouldn't be shocked if they're in the quarterback sweepstakes. I mean, hell, it's if the other possibility too is a team in the teens coming up to get a quarterback that didn't think they had a chance to. So a lot of things they could do there and really make their team better and still fill their areas of need. So guys, don't forget to hit the like button. Guys, don't forget to subscribe, turn your notifications on, and leave us a review out on iTunes. Kat, anything else you want to dive into here?
No, I can't wait in a couple weeks to get into our defensive back segment. Grandizer 12 mentioned Jamar Johnson, who's really one of the late risers. Just a sneak peek, I think I may like him more than Richie Grant. So we'll talk a little bit more about him here in a couple of weeks. Not by much. Don't worry about it. You know, I still like Richie.
You're going to set a fight up already?
As safety 4 in this draft, I love Richie Grant.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Oh. I don't know if I'd go that far, but
yeah, I was going to say.
Anyway, that's going to do it.
Don't you dig on
safety. No. You take the last word on that. I, you know.
All right. And you close out the show.
We're
done, folks. We're done.
Paul's taking a knee, running out the clock here. So that's going to do it for our breakdown of the off-ball linebacker class. Be sure to join us on Facebook, Twitter, Finn Fanatic, the Fansided Network, all of our social media outlets. We really look forward to our draft day party here on day 1 and day 2. Be sure to join us here. And if it's not on the right side and it's not on the left side, it is on the Finn side.
Good stuff, dude. That was fun.
That was really good, man. That's exactly how it should go. Hey, I'll talk.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.